Apid idim nidurim o'ed, shivim kimei oz, sumech v'soed, terachem tzion kivom o'ed.
This is Kina Chafches on Eich Tenachmuni. So I was asked to speak kind of last minute, and also happened to be in the middle of packing up because we're moving to one of the new projects. It's Hashem soon. So didn't really have many svarim on my shelf. So I really had no plans of speaking at all. And I do believe that there's a reason why I'm speaking. So, and there's a reason why I didn't have much time to prepare and not many svarim to look at. As a matter of fact, actually, one second, let me just get this farm that I do have. Hold on a second. Again, this is Chavches. So I do believe that there's a message that that I want to give over, and a message that is coming from an experience specifically this year of many different things that have happened in my family. And just looking around from those experiences and from my family, looking at other families as well, and just looking around with different eyes, and seeing kind of, not say that I'm not saying that, this about myself. I'm saying that this is just something that's coming from my heart. That seeing things from different people, and it's something that Emirat Hashem that we all need to strive for, and Rav Milonitz always speaks to us about being nosei ol in other people's tzaras. So it happened to be that I don't know why, but I bought this sefer just recently, and it's one of the sarm that I didn't pack. It's from the Chozeh of Lublin, and so I just read one part here on Parshas Dvarim. So he says here, "V'Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Dvarim, Dom LaHashem V'Yitcholelo." That's from Tehillim Lamed Zayin, right? So he says, "Dihine Yadua that Amaver Amidosav Mavirim Imenu Kol Pshaav." V'yadua she'isa b'shal ha'malach ben shana she'ayak ben shana shlotam tamchet v'ze omer dom la'ashem b'shvil kvod shemayim v'itcholelo t'ya k'mo sh'nolad k'et lo ki avir m'cha kol p'she'acha v'tya k'katlin sh'nolad. So he's saying, he seems to be saying, I think, that that a person who's mavir amidosav, and we know that much of what we talk about, the videos that they show, and not speaking Lashon Hara. I didn't think last year that the video was about being Mavir Midosov, that a person is Mavir Midosov. That's something that can bring us back to the state of, where we are whole again with each other and with Klal Yisrael, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to help to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. So I think he's saying here that Dom LaHashem, Dom is a lashon of silence, also this lesson of waiting. I found here in the Tehillim, it's actually a very nice parish here, the art scroll Tehillim here. It says, by the pasuk of Dom LaHashem, Mitchalelo, that Dom, and this the reason why this is going to connect to the Kina, by the way, is how can we be consoled? So I think that this is going to connect very much to how we can be consoled in this world of tragedy, but yet, you know, we're good. There's going to be Shabbos Nachamim. There's going to be a Gula very soon. So how can we be consoled? So back to the translation here in the Tehillim. So it says that Dom is a lesson of the realization that your fate comes only from Hashem. This is from Rav Samson Fowl Hirsch. So that should end all doubts and silence all protests. Also says, Dom can mean also to wait and patiently look for future developments, which will make Hashem's providence, right, the Yad Hashem, when we wait, we'll see that it'll become very evident. Brings in a footnote here from the Gemara in Gittin that it comes from Dimdumei Chama, that these are the times of the dim light of the sun, early morning and late afternoon, which are times of tefillah. As Rav Alper spoke about last night, that tefillah, we find the Shekhinah in our tefillos during these times when we put ourselves into this cocoon of Dveikus Bashem, and we're able to somewhat try to experience, you know, what it means to feel the Shekhinah. And that's the Dom LaHashem. And then V'Yitcholel can mean also awaiting with longing for Him, right? But it could also mean Tov Yachil V'Dvam Tshuvat Hashem, right? We wait in silence for the salvation of Hashem. That's actually from Echa in Perek Gimel, and that if Hashem brings Paranias, we accept them with hope. Also, Chil means pain, like the Rav spoke about. Chil kiyoleda, pain like a woman in labor. And certainly something that we talk a lot about in the Kinos, and we'll talk, and we'll be soon as we're approaching the final Kino of Kehilat Tzion. And it says here that we prepare to suffer pain and torment for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says even we're ready to endure choli, sickness, if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Or Yitcholel is like Chalal, which is a corpse, that we're ready to give up our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that this is very much, it's a very, you know, there's a lot of deep meaning in this Dom LaHashem, V'Yitcholelo. And I thought also, Dom also, it comes from the Lashon of Dam, of blood. And if you think about it, you think about, you know, what is blood? We talk a lot about the blood of Zechariah Hanavi, which is crying out. We talk about one of the first parshias that we you learn is when the blood of when of when Cain, you know, killed Hevel, that his blood was screaming out. But blood naturally courses through our veins silently, right? So it's very silent. Only when it comes out, we see that in an unnatural way, we see that it's something that cries out and screams out. But really it's something that's silent. We don't really think about, you know, our blood, except when, you know, a little kid sees it, so blood, all of a sudden they start to, you know, oh my gosh, blood. Because it's inside of us, it's our life force. So I was thinking that it's very interesting when you think about what silence means, and that we talk about Nechama, we talk about, you know, Aaron HaKohen when he lost his children. It says Vayidom Aaron, he was silent. And I thought it was very interesting that one sefer that I just happened to buy, and I just started to read it, about the Chozev Lublin. You know, his yurtzeit is Tisha B'Av. His yurtzeit is Tisha B'Av. I was reading in the sefer about his life, and they say that the Chidushi Harim said about the Chozev Lublin that if he had to describe him with two words, the two words would be Hachna and Simcha. And they talk about how could that be? Those are two things that are very, seem to be opposite each other. Achna is something that you're submissive, it's bittul, right? And you think of somebody who has that is walking around being very sad all the time. But apparently the Chose was not. He was very happy. So I was speaking to my children about it. And I asked them the difference between depression and a broken heart. You know, it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech says that Hashem doesn't want, you know, our karbanos. Just, you know, doesn't want our karbanos. Doesn't want an ola, a letertze. Right? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want? Right? Zivchei Elokim. Is a neshama, is a ruach nishbara, lev nishbar, v'nidcha, Elokim lo tivze, right? That a broken heart is something that's very sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a story that's told about, you know, there's always the age-old conflict between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. And there was somebody who went and said, I can't understand how the Chose is so happy all the time. How could it be that, you know, if the Beis Hamikdash isn't here, and how could it be? So he went and he told him, he said, no, it's not Pshat. Pshat is that inside, my heart is broken. Inside I'm crying. But a Jew is not supposed to be crying. A Jew is supposed to be happy. So that's what Pshat is. And so I'll tell you a story, and I think this is really comes down to really the core of what Tisha B'Av is all about. And I think the goal of why we're all sitting here and why we're crying real tears, and I think real tears come from a broken heart. Real tears come from when you look at other people's lives. You know, I know of a couple who, close friends of ours who, you know, couldn't have children, and they adopted a child. The sweetest people. And I just heard that the son doesn't even want to, you know, be at home, and he's got piercings and tattoos, and we look, you know, you look all over and you see people, you see what people are going through, and most of the time we don't even know what people are going through. But when you hear of tragedies, it certainly is something that should break your heart. That it's not something that depresses you. And that's the nechama. And I think that's the nechama, and I think as you read the kina, we'll see at the end of the kina, it says that's how you can be comforted. So what is it? It's that when you cry, the tears, real tears, not the tears like how Tisha B'Av started with the Meraglim, right? The tears that, and I think again that there's Dam and Demamos, or tears and blood, it's all coming from, you know, the same thing. It's coursing through our veins, it's our life force. When it comes out in a way that's from a broken heart, which is what this world is about, as Rabbi Zembrowski poignantly spoke about the Asar Harugei Malchus. Those are tears that come from a broken heart, and those are tears that we're going to say on Yom Kippur. We say those are tears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts them in a special flask. They're so precious to him because they're not wasted tears. They're not tears on, I want to get this new car, or my life, look at my neighbor, he has this, or, you know, why, how come, you know, their child is steiging and learning and my child is doing this, or how come, you know, they get to live here. And it's not tears of asking, a depression of looking at that and saying, you know, this is wrong, it's not fair, you know, I'm so good, I'm such a great Jew, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you owe me so much, and why are you doing this to me? No. It's tears of, you know, this is life, we feel bad, we have a broken heart, and we have to be consoled, we have to have a nechama. It's tears that come from, as others spoke about, when you go to Yerushalayim and you see something is just wrong, just not, you know, there's happiness, but yet this Hamikdash isn't there, and, you know, there's young soldiers getting killed, and people on the streets getting stabbed. You know, this is, it should break our heart. But yet again, a Jew is not supposed to, the biggest praise we say that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we walk around b'simcha. I forgot where I saw it. So there's no, it's, certainly there's no coincidence that HaMashiach and Simcha are the same letters, right? That we have to get to that state, right? Where we're here at Tisha B'Av and we're brokenhearted and we're crying. And we tell Hashem, you know, we need this, we need the Nechama, we need it, right? And we go to somebody who's in avelus, and we go to comfort them, what do we say? We say, Hamakom yinachem etchem. Strange. Aren't we going to console them? So we say, no. We say, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to console them. Why? Because apparently, consolation is not something that's natural. Like we say, time heals all, you know, wounds, and, you know, eventually it just goes away, but no, it doesn't. Right? What do we say? We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe of the Shurei Lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can heal our broken hearts. So Hamakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is everything, he's every situation that we are in. Right, the makom is, you know, some people are in places where they're stuck in a place where they don't want to be. Sometimes they're stuck because they feel like, you know, there's no place to go. I think Rabbi Nachman talks about it. He says on Tisha B'Av, the reason why we take off our shoes is because we're saying we don't even know where to go. We have no place to go. We're, you know, shoes usually they at least lead us someplace. You know, we don't even, we're stuck. So what do? We say Eicha. We say Kadosh Baruch Hu, where are you? But that's the start. The start is that we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is leading the ship. And that's, you know, this year, I'm sure everybody knows that, you know, my daughter, Atara, was sick, Baruch Hashem, thank everyone for their tefillos. But, you know, that was the beginning, I think, of, you know, our family seeing that we don't run things in this world. We really don't. In Eretz Yisrael, certainly we're zochet to live here, where things certainly are l'malam min hateva. I'll tell you, we got to Shaarei Tzedek, and I mean, there's so many stories. It's not, you know, I could write a book, which I am going to write a book about this, but I mean, you get to Shaarei Tzedek, and the first thing they tell us is, I said, who's the head here? And they said, well, there is no real department here. I'm like, what are you talking about? And just like, that was just the beginning of seeing, don't think this is going to be a normal process here. It's not. I'll tell you one story, which is an incredible story. So my daughter Atara, when she was in the middle of her treatments, so you know, she had no hair, as everybody knows, and she was very white and frail. And I have a friend, and I'm telling the story over. He is okay with me telling this over. He tells it over to everybody. When he introduces me, he says, I'm the father of the person who inspired him. So he can certainly tell it over. So anyway, so this is a close friend of mine who he comes very often for Kiruv in Eretz Yisrael. And he's a very organized person, very organized, down to the detail. Everything is exactly, you know, we know in advance when he's coming, you know, like a year in advance. And he shows up and calls us like late Thursday night and says, can I come over? And I said, of course you can come over. But why, you know, why such last minute? So it happened to be, and his mother-in-law was in Stop and Shop in Far Rockaway, and there were two like hoodlums that were like smashed in carts into each other, and they smashed into his mother-in-law, who was like 86 years old. She fell, she broke her pelvis or something, and she was in the hospital. And so he was a little bit, he didn't have time to prepare, so he said, can he come to us? Of course you can come to us, fine. So he came, and he wasn't feeling so well, and you know, we kind of attributed it to his jet lag. We were getting a little nervous because Tara was, you know, she had to, you know, wear the masks because, you know, someone's sick, you know, someone's going through chemo, so they're very, you know, they're more prone to getting sick. We're getting a little nervous, but there was something that Atara and this person, his name is Yehoshua David bin Alta Yenta, should have a refuah shlema. So Atara started to tell him over Divrei Torah and talk about her chemo experiences. She even read him a poem from this book about, you know, I forgot what it's called, but some very poignant poem about, you know, going through life and, you know, surviving cancer and he was very inspired. He was very inspired by it. And he told me after that he didn't really think it was like real, because it was very strange, because we were telling jokes at the table and we were laughing, and you know, she was sitting there, she, you know, looked very pale, very with no hair, and just very odd thing, but he was very inspired by it. And then the next Shabbos, I actually was by his house, and he still wasn't feeling well. He lives in America. I had gone to America, and he just kept saying, like, I was so inspired by Atara, and then I went back to Eretz Yisrael, and I get a phone call, and it's his wife, and his wife is crying, and I said, He said, Deborah, what's the matter? Is it your mother? I thought maybe it was his mother. She's 86 years old. She, you know, got hit by this cart, whatever. I thought, you know, she said, no. She goes, Yeshua has cancer. I said, what? And we discussed it afterwards, and he said to me, it's obvious. It's so obvious, so real, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he was going to give me this challenge. So he brought me to your daughter, who is going through the same challenge that the Yeshua is going through now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me through his chesed that he's with me. He is with me. And when the doctors told me, I wasn't shocked. They said so. They said you're going to lose your hair. You're going to become weak. He said, so, what's the bad news? Meaning, he felt the realness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And like Tzvi was talking about, I think that's really what, you know, that's what we need to know on Tisha B'Av. That's really what we're missing. Yerushalayim was a place where we were all able to go and have, you know, the Yira Shalem, the true fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when people went to Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash was there, they really felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know what that means. Sometimes we're zochet to get a glimpse of that. Sometimes, you know, and we should long for that, and we should be brokenhearted over that, the fact that we can't feel the Shekhinah. But that's the nechama. The nechama is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be broken hearted. It's a very hard thing to deal with in life, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be broken hearted on the one hand and feel other people's pain. But on the other hand, to realize that he's going to heal that broken heart. He's going to be the one that's going to console us and to realize that he's with us. But the message also is that when all is said and done, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coordinating and moving all these pieces around, you know, so much so that, you know, a good friend of mine could end up at my house right before he finds out that he has cancer. I mean, these are, that's just one story among millions and millions and millions through the course of history that we don't even know about, that nobody knows about. We don't even know about, if you look at a person, people don't even know what they've been through in their lives, right? If you look at an older person, you should go over to them and ask them about their lives, because you just start to realize, and you look back and you say, and you look at that person's life and you say, wow, it's incredible how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just running everything. And with that said, so, you know, there's so many things that, you know, we see going on in the world, we see going on around us in our families. You know, we look at people, we judge people. And I think one of the messages on Tisha B'Av, and this is, you know, a consolation for things that happen that we see, is that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so therefore, Dom LaHashem, right? We have to be silent, right? Just like the blood, which is the life force, which is inside of us, right? So that's what gives us our chiyus and our life, and realizing that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is healing our broken heart. So too, when you see things that happen, and I'm sure, you know, there are things that are happening, and you know, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, there's many things that are happening, but we should never ever, you know, look at those things and say, you know, let's say for example, you know, somebody has to leave Eretz Yisrael. So a person should never say, oh, that person's making Yerida. Chas v'shalom. We don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then, right, Actually, Rabbi Nachman says that when a person falls down, right, it'd be a fool to say that they're falling down because they're really falling up, right? So everything in our life should be an aliyah. And we should never, ever judge anybody because we have absolutely no clue. We have absolutely no clue what's going on, right? We have absolutely no clue when Mashiach is going to come. But we do know that we have to have that simcha. And maybe our simcha that we're supposed to have with our broken heart is what will bring Mashiach. And Mirtz Hashem, that should come soon. Chochas.